And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Mary Bate, Rick Begno, and Mary Morgan. Mary Bate is one of the curators at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. This Saturday is Art Walk, and that always comes around and surprises people at how quickly it comes around. But it is Art Walk in downtown Lafayette, and as always, there's so much going on at the Acadiana Center for the Arts, including this new exhibit in the main gallery. Mary, did you co-curate this exhibit?
Yes, this is Brian and I put this show together.
All right, and the title of the exhibit is On/Off the Wall.
Right.
And you have two of the artists here with us in the studio who are in the exhibit. It's a huge exhibit, both in number of artists and in size of pieces.
Yes.
And was that deliberate, that you wanted something big? Because the past few, there have been a lot of wonderful smaller pieces on the walls.
Right. Well, the show is based around the notion that when we look at art history and we go back to the late 1800s, people started to go away from the idea that the canvas was a frame into which we go into another world. Mm. And they started to pull things onto the front of the canvas. And you became aware of that with Van Gogh with his brushstroke, or like Gauguin, when he would paint a woman and she would have clothing. The clothing would become a shape, and it was about the color and the shape as making up the part of the painting. And yeah, you still saw a world you could go into, but the depth of the painting became more shallow. And so then we go on with, we take Matisse, and he started to make cut-out shapes. And so we started to flatten out the canvas. Then we fast forward into the 20th century, and we get Picasso, who started to reaffirm the flatness of the plane. And then we got people who started to pop off the frame. And that is why the show is called On and Off the Wall. And so the artists that are in the show have we don't have any like representational art, and anytime we have an allusion to something representational, it has a self-awareness that it's not like, I'm not trying to create a perfect world that you're looking into. Like there's a use of a bird in one of Rick's pieces. It's not like, here's a bird in a habitat. It's almost as if the bird is a decal. Mm-hmm. And then Mary took her work even further, and she took videotape, which at one point was an image and is no longer an image, and she's crocheted all this videotape, and it's cascading everywhere, and it's off the wall all the way, you know. We have Sam Gilliam in the show, and he's just a fantastic artist. He was the first person who got rid of the stretcher bars, and so his canvas, this massive, looks like it's a massive tie-dyed thing, is like draped and looped all over the wall. So it's about people that have no longer looking for an ideal world, but are actually celebrating reality, because they're dealing with the here and now. And so it's kind of a celebration in its own way. Mm-hmm. And there are 18 artists in the show. I would say 99% of them all have a Louisiana connection. Sam Gilliam lives in Washington, D.C., but the Ogden owns the piece that we're showing, and so that's his Louisiana connection. Josh Blackwell and Lou Blackwell, mother and son. Josh lives in New York, teaches in New York, but he has some pieces. He makes them out of like little shopping bags, like throwaway bags you would get at Walmart, and he weaves them and paints them, and he takes this piece of nothing, kind of like Mary taking trash and making it into something. And we have some Rauschenbergs in the show, who was a granddaddy of taking trash and making art, and certainly pulling it right off the wall. So it's maybe my new favorite.
Well, you know, I think when you come to talk about the new exhibits, people can always hear the passion in your voice. You talk about it as though this is an idea that's just been bubbling. You've been so eager to create this exhibit. But this one does sound special. It sounds like something you have really wanted to do for a long time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I think anytime, since I have an art background, anytime you are a student of art anywhere, you know, past the early 20th century, you have to come to terms with the fact that it's no longer this ideal world. And, I mean, the last show we did, when we did 1,000 words, we did the complete opposite. It was all about a storytelling. Now, it was different ways to tell stories. Mm-hmm. But that often went into the canvas. This stuff is just popping off the walls, you know. And some of it's flat. Don't get me wrong. Some of it's flat, like the canvas is flat. But the way what's rendered there is about, you know, the physicality of this existence. Mm-hmm. So –
Well, you mentioned both Rick Begnaud and Mary Morgan are guests who are artists in the exhibit. So I guess I'd like to find out how you all started to pop off the wall. And Rick, I think some people may know Mary a little bit more. She's done a lot of work in this area. You are from Lafayette, have traveled many places. So talk a bit about your art background. And I guess we should do a little reveal here that you are Robert Rauschenberg's nephew. So you've lived around art all of your life.
Yeah.
How did you start doing art?
I started making art probably in college. Well, before that, really. But in college, Jimmy McDonald and I would hole up in his dad's garage. And
this was here at UL, USL?
In Lafayette. And, of course, I was hanging out with Bob in Captiva and traveling a bit with him and then started spending my summers there. So for me, it was more observation. I never really was giving myself I wasn't seriously being an artist. I was making art, but I would give it away. I didn't really honor it. And it was years later. I mean, because I continued to make art, but I would kind of just give it away. I would wrap someone's birthday gift in a shopping bag, collaged, and you know, I don't even know where that stuff is. And you know, I took some art classes at USL. But not seriously. And it was finally, Sandra and I were in West Africa in a little village, and I was picking up little sun-bleached fabrics that were gorgeous off of the ground. And in that moment, I thought, I'm going back home to get an art studio. This is what I want to do. It just was a flash. And I 3 months later, I had an art studio in Sausalito, and it changed everything for me. And you know, I really have to have this conversation yesterday with somebody that I really feel like I sort of got a lot of what I got from like sort of osmosis from hanging out with Bob and not him teaching me, but me kind of learning from him in a way that from observation and things I like, things I didn't like. And when I got my studio and started working seriously every day, the blossoms opened up for me, and I can't think of anything I'd rather do. You know, get up every morning, go to my studio, and do something.
Well, I like the way you said earlier about how you just kind of made things in college and made things, but you didn't really honor it.
Yeah.
I've never heard anyone express it in that way, because there is a difference between just kind of making stuff, putting that out into the world, and honoring it. And it sounds like that moment in Africa when you saw that found piece of material, there was kind of an epiphany there about that object. But it wasn't object. It wasn't paint. It was something that you saw that
It was like an old piece of fabric. Mm-hmm. And I started collecting them and then walking into little tailor shops and asking tailors to pointing to little scraps on the floor. And they would immediately run in the back and come back with some beautiful embroidered shirt on a coat hanger. And I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. But I want that stuff on the floor.
I want the scrap. Well, what did it do inside of you when you saw these scraps? What did you imagine yourself making? What drew you to that, to think of it as a medium or something you could use within the bigger piece?
There's some beauty in for me that was the fabric, really, but the fabric that had some kind of history that I don't really know where it came from. I mean, I know it came from this one from a tailor shop or finding something at a flea market or wherever travels take me. There's some mystery and history involved in it that I don't necessarily know. And I think that's really was one of the things. It was several things. But that was one of the things that really kind of just sparked for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you got your studio and you had – I guess people are fascinated by this, with the history of an artist and what finally creates and gels that moment at which you begin your history as an artist. With the scraps of material, what did you start doing with them initially?
Well, I collected them, and mm-hmm. I got back mm-hmm.
and loved them.
Bought some canvas, and I just started laying them on the canvas. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I begin. I just begin, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and sometimes I stumble. Sometimes it. But it's more about than relaying an idea for me. It's more about the space and the feel. And it's a lot of laying down, moving, shifting things around. And I'm slow. It takes me a long time because I'm a little probably too particular about it, or too careful sometimes. And it's not really fun being careful, but it's sometimes it works. A little frustrating for me, but it always ends up in a place. It's something I like. You know, I'm not trying to make it hard, but it ends up in a – I don't know. I sometimes paint myself in a corner, but I can always paint myself out of it. And I end up with something that I like to look at. And I think I kind of developed that from looking at, you know, not just Bob's stuff, but other people's work that I like a part of this piece. Or I like this part of the piece. Right. But if I were going to do that, I would have put this here. And that's how my head twirls.
Well, and it sounds like that was a very important part of your development was learning what you do like and what you respond to and what you honor. Yeah. Exactly. And you can't be too slow because I'm looking at this wonderful notebook of images of your paintings. You've done a lot of them. And they are a combination of paint and fabric and design. Mm-hmm. What other mediums do you use? What do you use with the fabric? What kind of paint?
Sometimes I'm mostly acrylic, a wee bit of oil, but oil dries so slowly, and I'm very impatient with oil. Mm-hmm. But I do another process, which is I'll take photographs when I travel, print onto large sheets of plastic, big sheets, and then either on paper or on canvas, I'll paint on the canvas with water, lay the plastic down, and rub off, sort of burnish off the image. So I get imagery. Not on that one, but there's a couple in there. If you flip through, you'll see some of them. That's Bob's old shirt, but
that's got history.
Like this one here, it was a photograph, and I rubbed off the images, and so currently I've been doing a wee bit of that, a little pigment transfer with collage, acrylic, graphite. Stuff.
You know what I think strikes a lot of people when they hear about artists is how fearless you are. Most of us are terrified to cut something even or color out of a line. But what you're describing is so you just do it. And whether it takes you a long time or not, you're kind of fearless about it. And Mary crocheting old film, who would think to do that and who would actually do that?
Well, for me, it's an experiment every time I try it. It's not like I've done this. I've done a lot of it. But every time I do it, I don't really know what it's going to look like. It's so there's that surprise and the curiosity of how that's going to turn out. And I get surprised a lot. And sometimes I like it, and sometimes that's not what I thought, but sometimes it's okay, you know.
What a great thing about being an artist, to always be surprised at what you do make. We were talking earlier about some of your titles of your pieces here, and I'm just kind of noticing there are quite a few that have like some kind of vegetable fruit or a food in there. I love the one that's got a fig in it, and you've got the painting you were just talking about is called Fava Prayer. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll think of fava beans, pineapple, we've got wheat. Is that conscious that you have?
No. You're just on a food, you're on the menu side.
Of the pineapple hinge here, and mint robe, Bishop Mint robe.
I hadn't really noticed that.
Pajama fig here.